Welcome to Christ Today. Often at this time of the year, we remember to be thankful to God, and let us remember God's gift to the world, that is the hope of glorious salvation with and through Jesus Christ. Yes, let us be thankful to God as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let our thoughts go to our assurance of salvation as we follow Jesus Christ by word and by example. We could say, follow Jesus, and we could say, obey God's word. Different way to say it. Well, may our hearts be tender to the word of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, may we find ways to share the truth of Jesus Christ with others, with the unsaved world. We each and all of us can be thankful to be born at a time such as this. Here at this time and in this place, so many wonderful things. And to be glad that God did not put us at a different time in the past, or maybe in the Middle Ages, or in the midst of some difficult time. Oh, but we could see that we are in the midst of a battle right now. It is a battle between good and evil, between God and Satan, and may we all realize that we must be true to God, that we must not compromise our good and holy walk with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. As we live, we have it in our heart to serve God and not the other side. Oh, serve God and lift up the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as we live. The enemy of the soul, of our soul, came to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us entirely. And that is the battle we are in. It is like the battle between David and Goliath. At stake is our eternal life in heaven or in hell. And that is what is at stake here. And we do not want to compromise that. It's a battle that we can fight every day, and not to compromise at all in our spiritual life. Compromise on the small things that are not so important, but not on the basics of eternal life. Certainly, yes, the small things, oh, they all make a difference, but it's okay to compromise with those small things that don't have an eternal difference. But always to be aware that we want to be faithful and true so that our eternal destiny is not compromised. So do the very best that you know how, and you want to give God the very best of you. And in this world, there is so much compromise. We compromise to get along, and that can be all right, but we never want to compromise that which is of God, involving God. We want to be faithful and true, and be a part of that personal relationship with Christ Jesus and have our eternal destiny secure. And look at what's going on around us in the world. Do you think that the light of Jesus Christ is turning into a revival, a godly revival? Or do you think the world is turning more to darkness? Oh, well, just look around at the world in front of us and look at what's involved in our own personal life. Well, what about God? God is righteousness. And what do you call yourself? A righteous living person? Is your life righteous? Or is it righteous in Christ Jesus? Well, I think what we want to keep looking at is 1 Peter 1:16, where it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's what we want to be. Oh, and go a little further to verse 23, "Be being born again," in 25. "And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." So, yes, we strive for holiness. Oh, yes, we do. And that's what we keep wanting in our life, is the holiness. And always we can read Scripture and get more out of Scripture if we have a mind to read it and search it out, understand it, and seek it. And please pray before you read it and after you read it so you can get the fullest and the most correct meaning out of Scripture. We each have our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. God hears all of our prayers, and we want to have it in our hearts to speak and to hear God speak to us. And we can learn what God's will is, and we can talk about what we want to God and what our heart and our intellect wants. I think that's a part of the relationship, because God hears our prayers. But we must remember in life that we struggle to do God's will throughout it, and there's different ways that it turns out. And so we want to be always praying. The Bible tells us that. Praying always. Well, speaking about praying, there was a time when I did not know how to pray. I really didn't. I felt so awkward about it, and I really didn't even know what to say. I didn't know about praying out loud and speaking what was on your heart. And so that can be the case with anyone, where we seek to pray, but we just don't know how. Sometimes we need a little help from someone else, and we ask them to help us to pray. And that's okay. Our goal is, of course, to talk to God, and that is a prayer. And to listen, and that's about, I think about Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplication, that means to humbly and earnestly ask in prayer and in worship. So that's what we want to do with our God, is to be able to speak to Him through God, through Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. And then we deepen the fullness of that relationship, and we want to do what God tells us to do. So we read Scripture. That's God's letter to us to remind us how to live as holy as we can. Holy Scripture. And I think of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's one of those things that we orient towards, and we try to put that into our being so that we can be fulfilling God's work, God's word and work here on earth. All scripture is, they call it God-breathed, and that is our God, whose name is Yahweh. He gives us his word to teach us, to convict us, and to correct in all righteous discipline, so that we may be ready and well prepared to do every good work. Yes, every good work. It sounds to me like God would like us to be doing good work. Yeah. And that does not sound to me like God wants me or us to be sitting back saying, oh, I'm saved, I'm saved, and then waiting for God to take us away for the rapture. Just get us out of here in this evil world. No, I think that's not our mindset. I believe our mindset is to be doing good works, God's work. And that is also talking to the unsaved. Now, sometimes the talk is done by example, and sometimes it is done by explanation and conversation. We are all faced with what to do about our understanding of God and how to live it out. It's just kind of like different for everybody, and we just keep trying to do it. We actually do it. We have a plan, and we see how do we do it. Yeah, that's the desire of our heart, and that's what we want to do. I think we all can see the opportunities that we have had, and we can see what opportunities we will have, and we make little plans, and we try to carry them out so that we can be living according to God's will. That's what we do, that's what we try, and we certainly can look back at our life in the past, and we can see, oh, I could have done better. Oh, yes, indeed, we could have. We try to do better, and we can use that as an example of what we do in the future. And a part of that is to be reading God's Word, the Scripture, the Bible, because the Bible tells us so much. Oh, I think of 1 John 2, verse 15. That our world is full of joy and love and delights of every sort. And, well, it's not that way all the time, because there are quite a few difficulties. There are quite a few, well, unfair situations. It is not all just, so to speak, peaches and cream. There is a mixture in life of all sorts of things. And of course, we're thankful for life. We are thankful to experience so many good and wonderful things. And even the hard times, they help us to understand the better things and enjoy the better times. And that's just life. And we try to remember to show love to the many people around us. That's what love is about. It's all sorts of ways for all sorts of people. And it might just mean listening or talking to someone who needs to be listened to or talked to. Love. Love has many different applications. Oh, and then there is the godly form of love, and there is the human form of love. Sometimes it's compassion, sometimes it's brotherly love. Sometimes it's romantic love. So it's just many different kinds of love, and we figure how to do that. But God is not just about love. No, God is about righteous judgment. And in a way, that is love too, because he sets a standard, and we are to follow it and fit into that standard. A part of love is to give people who are faithful to God more of a reward than the people who ignore God and his way and his will. So that's righteousness too. It's certain that not everyone is going to enjoy an eternity of heaven. And so what we want to do is talk about hell and heaven both. And we want everyone to choose to follow Jesus Christ. And the more we learn and the more we know and the more we grow in love, well, it's all a part of loving Jesus and to recognize that Jesus first loved us. And that is the world we are in. It is so full of challenges everywhere. That's just life. And we will find people who agree and disagree. And because we live in this world, and the world is full of imperfect persons, people, well, we want to love the perfect people and the imperfect people. And it said that everyone is imperfect, maybe even us, certainly us. And by the way, we just want to show God's love to people. That's what we try to do. I think of a scripture. It's Matthew 6, 14 or 15. And it is, if we forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, then neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Interesting. I have heard different people talk about that scripture in different way. Some people call trespass an unintentional error. And so some people also call it an intentional sin. And as I can figure, the way I understand it and read it, they are both correct, because trespass can include either one, intentional or unintentional. So I don't think we get to just pick and choose what we ourselves choose. I think we have to view this through God's eyes and his understanding, so that we can recognize what God wants, what Jesus Christ wants for us to do, to think, and how to act. So, forgiveness is certainly a right direction to go in and to follow. That is repeated. There are many biblical examples. Forgiveness, and it even in extreme examples, when we think of Stephen and his death in Acts 7:60, and it said over there that the Lord Yeshua it says in Acts 7:60, where Stephen is praying, do not charge against them this sin. So he is forgiving the people who are stoning him, for stoning him. And there is Jesus on the cross. That's in Luke 23:34. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, I think these are examples to us that definitely we are to have forgiveness in our heart. And not just the least amount of forgiveness that you can get away with. No, but great forgiveness in your heart and in your mind. I think that's what it's talking about. Are you striving to reach and understand, oh, God's heart and how we are to operate in the world, what we are to say and to think and to do? Well, I just think about that kind of forgiveness. And we are to use our thinking power to put ourselves in a position to both forgive, but also to not get hurt again, especially not in the same way. I think those are both valid forms of direction of thought. And we all get to figure that part out by what we read. But do read. Look in the Bible and figure this all out. Anyway, there's a lot going on in our world, and some of it will be good for us, and some of it will hurt us. And we get to figure out just what we do, because there's a lot of going on in this world, and there's a whole lot of good also. And then there's some really bad stuff too. Oh, yes, there is. So let's remember the words of Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12. And they talk about how the wise will see trouble coming and avoid it. I think that's good for each and every one of us in our conversation and in our physical safety, to look for trouble coming and to avoid it. That's on a personal level. That's on a community level. That's on a national level. We can all do this. Now, we can't always do everything about it. That's for sure. But we know that's our goal and orientation. So let's just kind of do that. Yeah. We do get to think about all these different things. We get to see how it relates to people, how it relates to companies and government, and we get to apply it in the best way that we understand how. And really, that means reading Scripture. Scripture helps us and opens up our understanding to so many things in so many ways. Well, we live in a world. Lots is going on around us. Some good, some bad. And we just try to figure it all out. And we do want to be good to people. You know, people are supposed to be good to each other. In that principle, companies are to people. That's, companies are made to serve people. Nations are meant to serve people. And that's what nations do. They watch out for their citizens. And this is in every way. Nations are to watch out for the economic health of the nation. And in the last 20 years, we've seen a lot of our upper level of government, you could call them politicians or movers and shakers or congressmen and senators and presidents, they have made decisions which have weakened our nation's economy, and they have weakened our military defense, our national security. There's a lot going on, and there have been laws passed in the last 20, 30 years that have unfairly helped other nations build up. And that has weakened this country, our citizens, and our economy. I think people either see it or they don't. But if you look, I think you will see it. And I think one day we will see the effects of all that we have done. And the big thing that I see, well, the big thing is the spiritual falling away. But in addition to that, there is our nation's national debt, which just continues to increase. That that has to be really, really unhealthy for our nation. A $23 trillion national debt? It's beyond our comprehension. And so how do we grasp $23 trillion? The only way I can think of is to put it in terms that we will relate to. And I've heard people describe it in how many hundreds of dollars of, and how it adds up that way. But I think of it in terms of seconds, because that we can all relate to time. And so I'll say that. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Million, billion, trillion, 12 days, 32 years, 32,000 years. Now, I remember when I first heard that, I just couldn't believe it. So I did the math. Yeah, it works out. So a $1 trillion national debt is huge, huge, but we have a $23 trillion national debt. And what would happen if the interest rate that we pay as a nation on our interest increases? Or what happens if our debt doesn't get, is not allowed to either increase or it gets called back? Well, we'd have a hard time. And if our nation had an economic slowdown, well, then we would have real economic trouble. And with economic trouble, there comes societal trouble. There would be trouble all over the place just because of our national debt. Other countries have the national debts too, but the United States has the biggest economy and the biggest national debt. See, China has a huge national debt also. It's huge. And there could be trouble there too. The debt grew because money was easy to come by, and there was favoritism throughout that country in their political system, and their political favors translated to economic favors, and has made it an unsound economy and an unsound business situation and an unsound societal situation. I do wonder when or if the people of China will respond to their oppression, because it is oppression. And I imagine China's president, Xi Jinping, would have the same reaction of to Chinese protesters as he would have, or did have, to the Hong Kong protesters. Remember, he said that if those protesters would do anything to divide China, to make two separate Chinas, then he would crush their bodies and grind their bones to dust. If they did anything for a two-China policy. Crush their bodies and grind their bones to dust. Oh, could you imagine anybody saying that in a leadership role? Certainly in this country. Well, we just couldn't have it. But somehow, I don't know what our reaction is to China's president saying that. We'll see. We'll see. It's a big question. It's not easy. And things are going to happen. China has a different kind of government than the rest of the world, than America, I should say. There's communist governments in the rest of the world. Certainly China and Russia are communist, and their leadership wants and demands the people to conform to the will of the leadership. That's a part of communism. It's that kind of a structure. And they want to have their people follow them with obedient actions. That's what the politicians want in those other communist countries. Oh, and so they watch their people very, very closely to make sure that they are conforming to the government point of view and that they're not going to cause any problem. The BBC just came out with a report that stated the government of China has flagged 1.8 million people of its Chinese citizens because they have talked about policies which would not support the government, ideas which would be opposed to the government. So it listens to their phone conversations and flags them. 1.8 billion people in China. You know, there's so many people in internment camps in China that it's just huge. They are there. The government says they volunteer to go there, but I don't know of any citizens that would volunteer to go to an internment camp and be separated from their families. The government seems to admit to 3 million, but the reports that I've read say that there are 8 million or 10 million citizens in those supposedly voluntary internment camps. We don't know the truth because China is a closed country. They don't tell us what's going on. They don't have reporting that tells about any of it. And that's just the way that the Chinese government is. But the Chinese government also says that because of people being put into those internment camps, there have been zero terrorist attacks in 3 years. None that the Chinese authorities admit to. So, as far as they're concerned, their policy of putting people into internment camps is working. And of course, it's not easy on people. The children and the parents are separated. Families are separated in China. And that's just the way they do it. It has been said that every person in the internment camps has their blood type recorded and their DNA taken and recorded. And why would this be? Well, it doesn't make sense from a lot of points of view, but if you look at from the standpoint of who could donate an organ, then it does make sense. And I think there's a whole lot of people, well, that's what the documents say, of testimonials about the prison camps or internment camps in China, where people have their organs donated. Ha! Involuntary donation. That's what it's about. Well, there are plenty of people in China who are just plain unhappy. And typically, it has been people who are persecuted. The Christians, the Falun Gong, and the Muslim Uyghurs. So, by the way, the Muslim Uyghurs have been said to have been making bombs, and with their bombs, the key ingredients, one of them, was sugar. And now, in that province, a great big province, sugar can only be purchased with your identification card. So every purchase of sugar is recorded, and it is in a very small amount. One part of that little problem is that big, big province used to have 1,500 bakeries, but 1,000 of them have gone out of business because they cannot buy sugar. So that's the way it is sometimes in China. It's normal for that country. When there are problems that come along, they respond to them. So to them, they're doing what they should be doing. But, oh boy, wouldn't be easy to live with. Problems. Is the population happy or are they unhappy? I think there's a little bit of both in China. Unhappy nations seem to go to war to distract the population. That's something that happens. I know in the past there has been, prophetic predictions that China would invade the United States. It's hard for me to imagine that, really. But if we had the circumstances just right, yeah, I could see where it would happen. And China would want to do that while they had a young population. Because younger men take risks. And younger men do what they're told. And younger men have strong bodies that don't hurt. So right now, when their population is at a relatively young point, it's only getting older every year, they have an opportunity to have their army mobilized. It's just something to notice. I don't know that it's true, it would ever happen, but I can see the reasoning behind it. So, well, that's just how it kind of works in so many countries. We are all a little bit naive about what causes the actions within our country to go on, just like every country is. The people are kind of naive. They don't see the real reasons behind the actions. And of course, that benefits the politicians to keep the real reasons hidden so that the public doesn't disagree with them. But it happens that there can get to be a military contest between nations that have different ideas. And that could happen. That could happen in our world today for sure. Lots of things going on. And in the United States, well, we have a situation where there are troubles, economic, social, and spiritual. In fact, it starts from the spiritual basis of things. So don't be surprised if we were to have a conflict either, because conflicts distract the population. That's just how it works. When somebody gets in a war, when a nation gets in a war, the people almost always will support the nation. So that's in a sense what has happened for so many centuries and even in the last 100 years. It's easy to find an economic argument also. Our economy has been changing because the jobs that we have kept have been moving towards China, other nations. And so we have lower wages here. Economically, this kind of stress is difficult. Now, so many of our manufacturing jobs have moved offshore, and so many of them have moved to China. Oh, now nearly half of the United States workers, that's about 53 million workers, they have a salary of $18,000 a year, and that's about $10 an hour. Wow, it sure has changed, hasn't it? We've had inflation, but people struggle with the economy and the decrease in salary. $18,000 a year is what half of the U.S. workers gets. That's about 53 million. I know I just said that, but it bears repeating. 70% of Americans say that they are struggling with their economic decisions, with their budgets, and so many have high debt, and that includes a high credit card debt. You know, there's also a large number of people that are delinquent in their automobile loans. Now, that's not everybody, but it's in what they call a subprime market. The people who really didn't have quite enough money to buy the car in the first place, that's the subprime market. And 20% of that market has been, what do they call that? Their payments are delinquent by 90 days. They're 90 days behind. So that's another form of, people not being happy. We'll see. Another part thing about not being happy is that 40% of the United States, no, that's wrong. It's 40 million. 40 million of the United States people are on food stamps. 40 million on food stamps is a lot. So we see all these indicators. Lots of things can happen. There can be hard times coming, and it's just going to be tough. And we don't quite know how to tackle it because we haven't been educated in our schools about financial things. We just don't quite grasp economic sensibilities. And so our children, they don't quite get what debt does to them. And our children are, in a sense, they're not well taken care of, partly because of the electronic world that we live in. Parents and children alike, they are tied up on their smartphones for so much of the time that does not lead to communication. It does not lead to education. So we're looking at a world that is having a harder time in our nation, and a wealth gap where there will be the people who have and the people who have not. It is a recipe for discontent and maybe even a reaction. So not going to be good, I don't think. There will be quite a few people who can't believe that America would be in that position. But look at the numbers. America is in that position. Our great debt is going to be very hard to get over. I think Americans also have a hard time with the struggle that needs to take place. We have to struggle to get our financial security back, and that takes self-discipline. A lot of people don't have it, especially as we get entertained with our electronic media, entertainment, and Facebook and all that. We tend to go to the easy places and not to make hard economic decisions. So we will see what it means. Can you imagine what would happen if we had an electrical outage and if it was down for several days or weeks? What would people do? No cell phones to play with, no phones for communication. Oh, and the banks would be closed and there would be no food. Ha! I can't imagine the kind of distress that would cause. It would be so difficult. Oh, boy. It makes me nervous just thinking about it. Wow. The people wouldn't tolerate it. It would make such great unhappiness. And, oh, what if that was done if our nation was invaded and we lost our electricity and we couldn't use our cell phones? What would people do? They would say, give us our cell phones and we'll do what you want. Oh, boy, I don't mean I know that. I just mean it's a question. Oh, it would be tough. Well, we would have to get us through for whatever is coming. We will have to be strong. We will have to be tough. We will have to have that attitude of don't surrender. Nope, don't. So it's just that there's a lot of things that could happen. I don't mean I know what's going on, because there's a lot of things that could happen. I know I talk about consequences of our decisions, and that is something that we just have to search out, seek out, and understand. Our decisions have consequences, and certainly our spiritual decisions have consequences. That's one of the arguments about why we're having natural disasters in our country, is because of the spiritual decisions we have made. Sure, it sure could be, because history lends itself to that position. It's just hard for us to see. But it does show itself. And I think about in the past years how we have had, people, they say they are prophesying. And yeah, I'm really cautious about it. I'm cautious about people who talk about that they are prophesying, because there have been so many errors in the past, things that just don't work out the way that they say. But that doesn't mean it's wrong, and it can also mean that it just hasn't happened yet. So, yes, I think about the prophecies that I've heard 20 or so years ago, a little more, a little less. There's a consistent theme, and even today, or in the past days, I've heard a prophecy. And I think about these things because if we don't listen, we will have consequences. And there has been a sameness to the prophecy that has gone on like 20 years ago, more or less. And 5 years ago, 3 years ago, you hear these things. And then just days ago, I heard another one about the hard times beginning in 2020, that the winter won't go away. And yeah, I'm skeptical. I don't want to believe things. And I just think that there's a familiar theme that hasn't changed. And I think because it is similar throughout the different prophetic people, that it bears listening to. It doesn't mean I believe it, but it doesn't mean I don't believe it. So, this message, it talks about that our days of comfort will soon be over, that we will need to have water and food, we will want to keep our gas tanks full, and we will want to be with other believers and have a relationship that depends one on the other. Here in the United States, we are not accustomed to any of the difficulties that often happen in the rest of the world. So for us, it will feel like the rug is jerked out from under us. So America, please get ready. This is what that prophetess spoke about uncomfortable circumstances are soon coming, and that the winter conditions will persist beyond winter. That there will be very great destruction here, and soon Jesus will return, but the days of preparation will soon be over, and we will not be raptured out of here before some really hard days come along. Jesus will return just in the nick of time, however. We do not want to let sin come into our bodies or our mind, be it with alcohol or with sexual thoughts. So, renew your mind daily by reading Scripture, and do not compromise Jesus. Put on the whole armor of God so that you are not wounded. Prepare, because things are ready to happen. And do not take the mark of the beast in order to get your food or supplies. You want to give things to others. Be generous in the name of Jesus Christ. And remember to lift up Jesus when you give to others, and say in the name of Jesus. So 2020 will be the fall of the United States, this person says. And that is a part of the word that they claim to have received. I know I pay attention to those things because there has been a uniformity in them over the years. Me, I'm skeptical about the people who prophesy and about the people and their timing. Yes, I have a lot of skepticism, but I still listen. And I still know that there is a thread of similarity, a very similar thread that has been through different prophecy for the last 20 years. And so I think it's okay to talk about it, and I think it's okay for me to tell everyone today that I heard it again. But by the way, I've never heard the 2020 date. That's a new thing, and I don't know why it would only be one person who's heard this 2020 date, because that's not something I have heard before. But doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's true. It just means it's okay to pay attention to the just in case and take steps for preparedness. I think that's always good. Take your preparedness steps. So, anyway, that got my attention. Yeah. And I don't know what to think. When I heard that, I remembered the things of the past, and it spoke to my spirit and said, we ought to pay attention. We ought to continue to communicate. And yes, get food. And yes, get water. I say a water filter. There's other things to get to. Something for warmth, like a wood stove. Matches are good, medical supplies, and like I've said, a lot of triple antibiotic ointment is good. You can make do with other things, but medical tape and gauze pads are also good. Definitely flashlights. A long-lasting flashlight with low power, because you want it to last a long time. Bright flashlights are very good too. You need both bright and dull that are long-lasting, because you want to conserve your batteries. Oh, so I think those are important things. You can have plenty of them. If there really is a big, big problem, we don't know when a resupply will come, and you would have to conserve everything that you have, from food and water to medical supplies to flashlights and batteries. All of it, make it last a long, long time. So think about the list of what you want and put it in a priority so that you're able to get what you want with your different ideas. Everybody has different ideas. And if we help each other, we can all be a good, strong Christian community. So do not be fearful. And do be prudent. That's an important part. To not be fearful, but do be prudent. With your understanding of God and with your supplies. Remember that great commandment, Matthew 22:37, that thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your hearts, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then you shall love your neighbor as thyself. Pretty tough, huh? No, it isn't. You just start orienting that this is you, and this is what you do. Our natural way is to say that's unnatural, but you want to conform to God and God's will, and you say, yes, Lord, to all the words of God. Read the Bible. Seek it. We certainly are told that we're going to have some hard times coming, but we don't quite know when, and yet we want to get ready for the things that are coming. It says there will be a time of sorrows. At some point, what will it be? That time of sorrows? I don't know, but I know that Matthew, Mark 13, and Luke 21, they all talk about a time of sorrows, and events happening. So things are going to happen. When? I don't know, but preparation makes complete sense to me. And for preparation, I think of water and food first. There's always other things, but everybody has their own idea for what they ought to be, and we do want to remember to share with other people. Jesus loves us, and we love Jesus and other people. Give it some thought. How you can follow Jesus. That's what we want. So the Bible doesn't tell us when things are coming, but it says that the events will happen. Do you know when they are? Well, I don't, but there are signs that say it is soon. Still, when is always the question, and I just like to say, prepare, prepare, prepare. And I remember being told that within the last year several times. And for all the times I've told people to prepare, it was really odd to have somebody to tell me I should prepare. Yeah, I have the basics, and you should too, because my basics are not going to help very many people. Your basics won't either. But if we all prepare a little bit, we can get along a whole lot better before we have to plant our grains in our gardens. Yep. So prepare physically. Have some extra things on hand so that you can share with your neighbors. Your neighbors might be hungry, then they might be cold. You might be hungry and cold. So think about that preparedness aspect. Well, everybody, if these things come along, and we are told they will, we just don't know when, we will want to get prepared, and we will also want to have love and grace with our testimony of faith and obedience to God. That will be done by, it'll be shown by what we do, and it'll be shown by what we say. So remember, love and grace can be our testimony of faith and obedience to God. Troubles can happen. They will happen. And for all that, we want to take the basic steps, and then we want to be prepared as we follow the great commandment with loving our God and loving our neighbor. That's what we do. There's lots of reasons to show that hard times are coming. Will it be big earthquakes? Will it be famines? Will it be wars? Yes, and rumors of war. All these things the Bible predicts. And what can we do? Well, it's always different. So, do take some steps of preparedness. That's what we want. I also want you to know that you can get my preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you also can listen to any past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase and no spaces. I want to thank you for listening today. Thank you for your prayers and your donations. Both are appreciated. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.